Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
How are we, folks? Another Glory Days. The final, this is it. This is the last Glory Days of the year, PJ.
This is it, yeah, yeah. Finally, we've made it to the end of the year. It's been a longer year for Jim than me, admittedly.
I was going to say, would you consider the year has flown in?
Yes.
It's also mad this year. It only feels like it's about 10 months long.
Yeah, technically, it'll be the end of February, or probably 2 weeks into March. Before I've completed my year. But you know what, man. I mean, it's gas watching it turn around.
What a year for you, man.
What a year.
Oh my God. I mean, tell you something. Year in a view. Like, I tell you something. If you I know you're far from being a royalist, but
yeah,
this is right up there with the old Anna Cerebilis for you, hasn't
isn't it?
It's been a bit of a shocker.
Really, it was one thing to the next. Like, it was just like there was the, of course there was the you know, me leaving you high and dry here while I went to Sorby.
I think that was the lesser of the two evils, to be fair. I think I'd rather be here high and dry than where you were.
Yeah, my job. Well, yeah, there's a point to that.
Yeah.
At least you could go home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So there was that, and then there was like me man, all that happened too as well.
Shocking,
so
yeah.
That wasn't great cracking.
Yeah, proper Anna Cerebilis it was.
And there was a certain incident online which shall not be spoken about, but
yeah,
I do think I've retained a prawn-like image ever since that time.
Yeah, been a proud prawn ever since.
I really have.
It's been fantastic.
So it's been a mad year, so I'm glad it's kind of coming to an end, to be honest. Fresh start. We all need a fresh start, really.
Because I'm trying to think, would you have one of those years in your past that was like, oh, best year of my life?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have one of
them?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, 1989. I was 14.
Oh,
everything was downhill after that. I'll be honest with you.
Jesus.
It was, yeah.
That was very quick.
Yeah.
That was very quick.
Oh, yeah, 1989, yeah. What was it? Arclight was number one in the charts with the Fat Lady Sings, and I was in the Gaeltacht in Donegal walking around kissing young ones and having not a care in the world, and oh, it was great.
Jesus, one of your school years.
Yes,
well, technically, I was more of a school age than actually attending.
It was 14, so it was like the last school year. And then, you know, it was it was great. The sun was splitting the stones every day. There was cure heads walking around. There was no such thing as phones or anything. Well, there was such a thing as phones, but yeah, those are the days when you had to ring young ones from under the stairs. Like, that was the year. Everything's been downhill.
Leave your 20 pence on the table.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
day was it?
Remember that? Yeah, remember going into your mate's gaff and they'd have a payphone in the house.
Yeah.
You're like, and your elf would have gone mental over bills. And do you remember the prices on them? Jesus, who's using the phone? The phone bill is $3.99 this week. You were like going mad over
it. The weird thing was, you have to, like, if you were ringing a girl from a mate's house or something, or somebody else's phone, there was no question they were listening.
No.
Of course they were.
Do
you know what I mean?
Do you remember trying to ask someone out on the phone? You'd be on the phone, and then your mom would pick up or your dad.
I was just going to say, those phones were like, they'd have an extension of the phone in another room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello? Put the phone down, I'm speaking to. Who's this? Have you got a cross line?
Yeah, will you hang up the phone? What? I need to call the bin man. Hang up the phone. I'm trying to ask a young one out. Who? It doesn't matter. Who? It's not wrong, yet, is it?
And she's going, I'll go now.
No,
don't
go. Don't go.
You'll be gone now in a minute.
He's a fucking idiot. Don't call me.
These are the best years of your life.
These are the best years. Oh, yeah. I was talking to you before about it. I used to... when you think how easy it is now for kids and young kids, on top of like 30, young people under 35, to ask people out. Like, you got like Bumble, Tinder, Field, you got all these apps, you got Grindr, you got all those things. You can do anything you want. You can go online, it's so Instagram, like so many different ways of contacting people. We literally have to fancy someone from across the way, get the phone number, and then ring. And our elf will answer on the phone and all.
Yeah.
And like,
that's the other thing, getting the phone number, like you had to get one of their mates.
Yeah, I know.
To kind of, you know.
And then you ask, can I have a phone number? Yeah. And then, hello? Who's that?
I know. When people's dad answered, it was always that moment of like...
That's what I said, I'll never forget it. Roger Ramjet. And then you hear...
Is that true now? Did you really say that?
I know, I said equally as shit, but... but you hear your man then... Grania, there's a Roger Ramjet on the phone with you. I don't want Roger Ramjet through this fucking house where you're studying for your exams. And you're there, oh my God. And then she's like, hello? You're there, hello Grania. Who's that? It's PJ. Why'd you say it was Roger Ramjet? Because like, your dad was scared the bollocks out of me.
But you were always taking the chance to, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. The shout would come back. I don't know any Roger Ramjets.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it must be a wrong number.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Bollocks. Are you there? I'm going to have to call back again and say I'm fucking Batfink. Yeah, yeah. Who's that?
Telly Savalas.
Telly Savalas. Kojak is looking for my daughter.
Hoping he'd be a fan. I like him. Quick, answer the phone, will you? Yeah. I've got Kojak.
Kojak's on the phone. Mother,
ask him who killed your man in episode 7, will you?
Yeah, mother of God, bring out a cake. Kojak's coming to visit.
Listen, Teddy, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan, but my daughter's only 14. Yeah. Are you sure you should be doing this?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I'm not into it, but I'm impressed by it.
Yeah.
Maybe you and me could go for a point together.
Different world.
And when you met people then, you didn't have anything to do. You know, you'd go out and sit on a wall.
That was it, you'd hang around at a corner.
And that was a date.
Or walk.
You and a young one.
You just walk.
Yeah, or go up a lane and bang out a few Frenchies. You know, just.
Well, you had to lead up to that. That was towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to walk and sit in a wall for a while before you got to that.
Walk.
You couldn't just meet and go, how are you doing? Do you want to walk up a lane and bang out a few Frenchies?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to see a Swiss Army knife? No, okay. Oh, I have one though. If you have one, see, we can go and I'll get it in my bedroom if you hide in the bush.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, we were, you know, we predate even having enough money to go to a feckin' McDonald's or something. Do
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you were literally, you were penniless.
And?
Like, if you had your bus fare to go to wherever she lived, that was the start.
You were laughing. And we didn't know what girls. We were separated from girls.
Yeah.
Always separated from girls. Unless you had sisters. So. Like, me and my sister weren't really that communicative, so I didn't know what girls. Like, I'd be asking them, do you want to go for a walk? And me might be able to stick put a branch into a dog shit and wiggle it around or something. No. Oh. You know, like just
oh my God.
No idea what people were into, you know.
Yeah. How did the race survive?
I really don't know.
The human race. Well, that was the basis of the beginning of, like, you know.
Yeah.
Of coming together.
And we, everywhere felt like a village because we'd no social media, we'd nothing. So you knew five people.
Yeah.
In your life.
Yeah.
And you know, and if one of them, if you were embarrassed in front of one of them, you just had to move to another
different town.
Go to another country. Yeah. Blanchardstown or something. Something right. There wasn't even a shopping centre.
Remember the trauma of it, like when there was anything that was like, whether it was in a school or in a youth club or something, the idea of like a disco, as it was called then. And the trauma of a slow session.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, no young person will ever understand like you were literally being given a window of opportunity. It was like fucking dating via Squid Games.
Yeah.
You had one sort of opportunity.
Yeah, the window, yeah.
That was going to last about 3 songs.
Yeah.
To hopefully get to the young one you wanted to get to and have her say yes to a dance.
And then you see some jazzy bastard walks up to her in front before you. You're like, oh no. What am I going to do now? I'm on the dance floor.
I'm standing here.
I'm literally standing here. Your man's after getting.
I have to make it look like I wanted to go to the jazz. Yeah.
So you start chewing a little on the spot grooving. And looking around to see if there's any other young ones that would have kissable faces that might be into you. Here you're going, oh yeah, there, I'll go on and ask her, do you want to dance? No, okay, that's fine. I didn't want dance anyway. I was dancing on my own here, as you can see.
I was only asking, sorry for you.
Why are you bopping up and down to manic to show me heaven? Because I just like it. I always dance solo to slow songs. Yeah. Oh God! Then you see that couple.
Oh,
your man trying to put the Frenchie on while they're doing the slow dance.
Yeah.
You know, and just turning around in the circle, and his big mouth and tongue coming at her avoiding it, but they still keep dancing.
That's right.
They still keep going around.
It was like she had to just endure it. She wouldn't just turn around and stop.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, you know,
just going around in a circle with, and her putting her head side to side, and your man licking her ear or her cheek or trying whatever it was. So, you know. And then after, how'd you get on? Yeah, I got off with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got off with her. She was deadly. Yeah, yeah. She was brilliant. Licked her teeth, you know. It was brilliant. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Again, how the race survived is beyond me.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah,
extraordinary. Mind you, I suppose it's possible to say that maybe we were at the perfect example of like
true
of true Romeos in that sense. You know,
exactly.
We might, well, you know, I'm sure there was other lads out there who were just, you know, prolific, naturally handsome and suave and all that, even at 14.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably that the likes of those lads. Remember the way you used to say that there was always one lad in school who was, let's just say he was overdeveloped.
Very overdeveloped. Yeah. No, the first time he ever had to have a naked shower with other lads, and he was there with his big daddy cock on him. your hair all over the place. You didn't have any big daddy cock. Wasn't even the same colour as the rest of them. Big purple yolk or something. Yeah. And you were like, mother of Jesus, does your man know you brought that to school? If your dad finds out you took that to school, he's going to kill you. He needs that. He needs that for later. You can't be bringing that to school. It's like bringing a rifle. Yeah. You can't. That's unbelievable. Big hairy armpits. You know, 13 years old, shaving in the shower and all. You know, and he's always getting married. Not those kids.
Getting married?
Yeah, I know, I'm engaged. You're engaged, you're 14. I'm 13 or something. Yeah, I know. I've been with her now for, Jesus, we're nearly 3 weeks together at this stage. Have to make an honest woman or eventually, you know. Not straight away, like, we'll wait till I'm older, like 16 or something, you know.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. There were always those lads. There was always one. There were either one in your class or one on your football team or something. There was always one of them lads.
Big overdeveloped lads. I remember that Dunn City entrance exam.
Their voice always broke earlier than everybody else's as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody else was going around, like, give us the ball. Pass it to me.
Over here. You're like, mother, where
is that? Like, it's like somebody's dad was on the pitch.
Yeah, you're like, it's like a witness protection program. Yeah. They've just taken a lad and dressed him up as a 14-year-old. Put him into transition year so we can get a job.
It was like some weird version of the Crankies, wasn't it? Yeah. Lad dressed in schoolboy uniform.
Yeah.
I'm 14.
Yeah, like, it's like when you see, you know, when you see Cub Scouts and your man with the Scouts, who's the leader, dresses up like a Cub Scout.
Yeah.
It's like that, except it's actually a child. Yeah. You know, like, you're there, where do you even get them shoes? Like, wearing his dad's business shoes into.
Business shoes.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that people would never understand is, like, there was, like, you had a pair of shoes.
Oh, a pair of shoes.
Remember that? Like, you know the way now kind of people have, like, they've eight different selection of runners or whatever.
Yeah, shoes to match different things.
Exactly, and all sorts of stuff. And you never have, whereas, like, you and I had a pair of runners.
Yeah. And then if you wreck them, your mad still make you wear them. You tape them up.
Yeah, because you certainly weren't going to wear your good shoes out to play football. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going into buying now until another 2 months, so you're gonna have to make do. You don't, you're like, Jesus, the Velcro going on.
It sounds like we were born in fucking black and white.
I know, yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, you meet people now and go, Jesus, nice to see in colour for a change.
Oh, man. Anyway, listen, let's give you a few of the best bits from during the week, the final week of Morning Glory for 2022. It won't come as any great surprise that I was the subject of a tirade of verbal abuse earlier on, just because we discovered the origins of language.
There's no abuse. We just realised that Jim is actually almost responsible for our ability to speak.
Won't come as any great shock that it was actually chimpanzees or orangutans.
Orangutans, yeah.
We were talking about. But anyway, you'll get to hear us. Also, of course, naturally enough, it wouldn't have been Christmas week if we didn't bang out the old Christmas tips. We're nothing if not full of festive cheer and Christmas tips.
That's true, yeah. You know what I mean? You know,
always thinking of everybody else.
Always looking for good advice, which turned out to be awful, actually. Yeah.
And also on the Christmas subject as well, naturally, a lot of, you know, all the Christmas letters, they're all, well, pretty much done and dusted, I suppose, now.
At this stage.
Yeah, they'll have arrived or sad. So we had a little bit of a sneaky peek into some of the things that were involved in the old kids' Christmas letters.
Some of the letters that are getting sent to Santa this year.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we also had our scientific piece, didn't we?
Yes.
As well.
What was that again? That was about... Yes, about scientists and the lads who maybe aren't as great at the job as... Maybe some of the other fellas.
The lads who'd be a bit embarrassed if they ever rocked up to an actual scientists' convention.
Yeah. These are lads who, they probably wouldn't even win the Young Scientist Award in their 70s, like, you know, so...
Anyway, listen, have a listen, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
And we have talked a lot on the show, in fairness, about the kind of pressures associated with Christmas, haven't we? We talk everything from people to dinners to presents to whatever. But look, help is at hand. My learned friend and colleague, Mr. PJ Gallagher, lover of many, has come up with a...
There's a dig in there, by the way. There was a jab in that.
Yeah. With a solution. A way to ease all your Christmas stresses.
Well, you know something? I wish that was the case, to be honest. What I am doing is reading through one of these people who is advising people, like you said, how to dodge the stresses of Christmas. Do you ever have the feeling when you read these advice columns that the people who are giving the advice don't live in the real world at all?
Oh, really? It's that sort of advice, is it?
Well, like, for some stuff is just like... So we start off easy, right? So this is like her saying, okay, here's what you do if you run out of Christmas decorations or you don't put them up on time. So you don't have them. You didn't get them, right?
Right.
Run into the garden and pick up some holly from your bush. Like, I don't think that's exactly something anyone can do.
All right, because we all have a holly bush.
Run into your garden. Get some holly.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, get some holly from your bush and stick it in a vase and hang baubles off it. If you have baubles, you don't need the holly from the bush.
Exactly. So string up your baubles and leave your bush alone to grow at its own free will.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. If you have the other stuff, just get your baubles out and for the day. And then there's like things like, I don't know what to serve my guests when they get here, you know.
You shouldn't have invited them.
Yeah, but, and then she goes, and here's it.
What do you mean you don't know what to serve them?
Well, she's going, no problem. If guests arrive, it's very simple. You can make them a hive ball cocktail. This is, all you'll need is 50 milliliters of vodka, 10 lemon juice, 10 of honey syrup. It goes on, it's a recipe. The easiest cocktail of all. Buy a slab of cans, for God's sake. And just leave them there.
That's the complete contradiction. I don't know. I've nothing in the house. I don't know what to give the guests. Yeah. Ah, no problem. Do you have vodka, honey ball, something else?
Yeah, yeah.
Syrupy thing.
Pop open.
I just said I've nothing in the house. Yeah,
pop open the bowls and vermouth. But, you know.
Right, okay.
I'm not sure
this was aimed at us, Peter.
I don't think this is. This is aimed at a very particular type of Christmas person.
Yeah.
And like, buy a slab of cans and leave them there. And if anyone calls around, you pour one into a glass. It really couldn't be easier. You know, it really couldn't be easier. Or even if they arrive, just say, go down the off hall and come back. I'm only putting my clothes on. You know.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah,
just send them away for a while.
Yeah, look, go down the off hall. I'll come back in a minute.
I'm glad you're here. Brilliant. Yeah. Great. Yeah. You wouldn't just do us a favour.
Run around the corner and get a few bottles of the fizzy stuff. And
by the way, just if you happen to see any orangey syrupy stuff there, buy that as well. Yeah. I've got to do some mad joke.
Find out if they got cinnamon bowls. For the love of God. It's bananas. And then it's like, help me. What do I do if my guests won't leave? So she gives this tip that you change the music to something more quiet, more chilled out to make them tired. And then you raise the lighting a little bit. Because we all have dimmed lighting, you know, that we can just use faders on. And you'll raise the lighting a bit because it'll create like what they do at the end of a theatre or at the end of a pub, I suppose.
When they put on the full blast kind of thing to try and make you feel uncomfortable.
And then they'll all naturally sort of...
Do you have to do the other stuff they do in a pub? Like, do you open all your doors and windows? So do you get freezing?
And walk around, get the kids to walk around going, you're right there, folks, please.
Drink up, folks, please. Yeah.
I mean, now home's still open. Come on now, folks. We all have to get home too. You're right there, folks, please. Can everybody move into the back?
That would be amazing. Kids walking around in their pyjamas going, got to go to bed now. Come on now, folks.
Yeah.
Some of us do have a home to go to. You're in us.
Let's go. Let's get out of here. Yeah. See you next year, folks. Good luck to you. And then there's like, help, my family are arguing. So if people start arguing, what do you do? Well, apparently you bring them outside. And once you go outside, the oxygen and fresh air works as a relaxant, apparently. Like, tell them to go for a little walk. Perhaps looking at something beautiful will give them feel-good endorphins and make their good feelings start to flow. Imagine.
Hang on a second. If you had the family fighting inside, yeah, or anybody fighting inside,
yeah,
putting them outside is what you do when you're going to have the fight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people do. They, yeah.
Do you want to step outside? Outside?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Come on outside then.
Yeah, come outside and say that to me face.
Yeah, come on outside.
They're encouraging them to actually have fisticuffs in the garden.
Yeah, get outside and smash that prawny back through the wall. You know, something like that,
yeah,
could happen.
That's the kind of thing somebody would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's always, like, you never, imagine, and as well, imagine you're having an argument with someone.
Mm.
You and your missus are having a row, and I come up and go, would you just go outside and look at something beautiful? I think it would help.
Actually, to be fair, what would help it would be you walking up and saying that. Because the people, yeah, you'd say that to would look at each other and go, he's mad, isn't he?
Yeah, they'd be there going, yeah.
They'd actually agree on the fact, he's,
yeah,
something wrong with him.
Well, look who's going back to hospital.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Now, it seems that Jim's direct ancestors, the orangutans, they reckon have to hold the secret to the...
My ancestors?
Yes, yes, yeah.
What, nobody else evolved from the apes, no?
No, most of us were put here by Holy God, and Jim, of course, came a different way through... The evolution of the orangutan.
Although, to listen to you, I didn't evolve very far.
Yeah, no, well...
Based on your cruel jibes consistently.
Well, I don't think so, Jim. I've never seen an orangutan wear headphones or drive a car. And you've managed to do both of those very well,
yeah,
you know.
I am ahead of the species.
Mind you, or get passionate. I've never seen an orangutan passionate about a Dyson, but maybe they've never had one. Maybe that's the one. Maybe if we gave them one.
Is there anybody distributing Dyson, yeah, in the jungle?
If anyone here from Dyson is listening, please bring one to Dublin Zoo. They're dying for one out there. So the orangutans, they reckon, hold the secret to the origin of speech. New sort of research has shown that they have their own sophisticated language that other apes don't have. So, you know, if there's a series of apes, it starts with Egypt apes, I suppose, with bonobos and then chimps and then,
Egypt apes.
Yeah, and then gorillas and orangutans and macabes. It's sort of a thing that goes up like that. You know, till you get to the king of the jungle.
Thank
you know,
you.
Really there, yeah, yeah.
King of the swingers.
King of the swingers. Also, they describe the orangutan language. They say that their vocal repertoire is a rich display of smacking, clicks, kiss sounds, splutters and raspberries. And if anything sums up Jim McCabe and me on this show, I think that's probably... I think that's a perfect. If I had to describe this show
based on that description, you're a lot closer to the origin of. I mean, when you go into your,
that's pretty much.
We could have an orangutan conversation.
Yeah, the worst thing is those noises I just made. Jim actually knows what that means.
Yeah, no, exactly, and I will. I'll get it later after the show.
Yeah, Jim's there.
He just asked me to collect his car.
There we are. Clint's hungry again. He says he has a Mars bar in the boot.
Wow! So they're trying to say that speech may have evolved,
yeah,
from as far back as the orangutans.
Yeah, and not only that, travel. You know, like whereas when Jim was going to school, he used to swing tree to tree. But then, of course, Finglas didn't have
this
that many
outrageous
trees
anymore.
And they have a sense of place, just like humans. You know, where they like to stay in the same place. They don't move around much, you know.
Yeah.
Try getting Jim into town for a night and you'll see his orangutan.
My orangutan blood does come up.
It
then.
Does, yeah. He's very...
town. Oh, it's
literally.
I hope I get home.
Jim is a perfect... When Jim goes on the radio, he's that velvet voice man. He could sell you anything. Anything from a marquee to a three-course dinner in a hotel. The best voice on radio, by no shadow of a doubt. And then you ask him, do you want to go to town? And all of a sudden it's, oh, jazz,
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There was a story there. Did you hear that story that Dan had in the news about the scientists?
The biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scientists proving that a hobnob is the best dunking biscuit.
The scientists. The British Medical Journal produced it or published it.
Yes.
That hobnobs are the best biscuit to dunk in your tea. The British Medical Journal now, they said that the oat biscuit, the hobnob, has the best structural integrity when it comes to all biscuits that go into tea. In everyday language, it's less likely to fall apart after you sort of dip it and squish it or whatever. And for those who dunk their biscuits and, you know, you might have a chat or something and you forget you have a biscuit in your hand. Like, this is, I mean, can you believe that this is actually written down? And you forget you have a biscuit in your hand. Well, you have 29 seconds to remember before it'll fall apart in your hand. Whereas the rich tea is like a, it's basically a dissolving biscuit. It's like the Barocca of biscuits. You know, you dip that yolk in once and it's just gone.
That's,
you know,
unreal. I'm just picturing the guy, because, you know, British Medical Journal, like, and science.
Yeah.
Just imagine the guy who actually got that job.
Damn, he was paid
for
this.
So the lad was there, and he's there. Tony, you have a full PhD. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I do, yeah.
Years of experience in scientific research. Oh, yeah, years on it. Well, you wouldn't do this for us. You wouldn't see which biscuit dunks best, would you? What?
Yeah.
I'm a PhD, man. I've written scientific journals.
Yeah, but, like,
yeah, but just,
well, we're just curious about hobnobs and Figaro's. You know, who'd win in a fight? A hobnob or a Figaro? You know, so
this is science.
This is science.
This is what scientists are doing.
Imagine the scientists' Christmas party from the British Medical Journal. Imagine them all sitting, all of them there. Your man's there going, Kevin Wazek, who is, you know, flown in from Poland. He's the director of rocket affairs. And then you have, this is Karen Kwiatkowski, who has flown in from Lithuania. She's,
what are you working on, Karen?
She's an astronaut. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, we're currently working on agriculture on the seabed, which could solve world hunger.
Yeah, how and to use hallucinogenics on fish to make them produce more.
And Tony, what are you working on? Just about the best... speak up there, Tony. Don't. It's just about the best biscuit for dunking.
Yeah.
Sorry, the risk of what? No, the best.
The risk to women of...
No, just the best biscuit for dunking.
Yeah, yeah. Biscuits, Tony, is that what you said? Tony, did you say biscuits, Tony?
Yeah. Oh, that bloke showing up at his school reunion. Wow, man, Tony, you went on to be... You're a scientist. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's a mad... God, what are you working
Unbelievable,
on?
Unbelievable, yeah.
What are you working on? Yeah. A few things, you know.
Yeah, what'd you...
Dunkin' biscuits.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, what?
It'd be great if he was on something for us too. Oh my God, you were on the lobby group to have medication changed as far as cancer research was. How did that go? Well, it was going great there for a few years now, I'll be honest with you. And then, well, there was the whole calling me boss a glue sniffer moment, and I've been on the biscuits ever since.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Because we're only days away, and all the Santa letters have been sent in to go to Santa. And don't worry, this story doesn't affect your letter getting to Santa. It will, if you've written Santa a letter, it is on its way. It will be received in time. But just to see what has been asked for by the children of Ireland, on post have been opening some of the letters just to have a look at them. And to check detail, just to make sure everything's there, that there'll be no confusion and stuff, you know. So they've been opening some of the letters. It's a breach of privacy, I suppose, as well. And some, to
I
some
just going to say, isn't
GDPR.
Isn't it not a crime to interfere with the,
somebody's
with
post.
The post?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was actually a very serious offence.
It should be. So on post, we are looking at you.
Yeah, and just saying, like, in this, you know, in this time where people are very, very conscious of their privacy, PJ.
Yeah.
You know, intruding into people's personal mail, a direct mail between an individual and Santa Claus. It's like the confessional, man.
Post Office of Ireland, you are very lucky Santa is not a notoriously litigious man. I'll tell you that much. You know?
Yeah.
If there was like a certain Mr. Van, you'd be in serious trouble.
Could have been iffy.
But it shows what how the kids of Ireland have been writing and what they've been writing. It's kind of, some kids are just very funny. One letter, it says, how are you, Santa?
Does it say how are you, Santa?
How are you, Santa?
Brilliant. Perfect. And then it goes, love that.
Sorry for all the things I did wrong this year. And also for all
Hang on a second, away.
Yeah?
Is this your letter?
No.
Okay, right. Sorry.
But it's like, yeah.
Please continue.
But I just love it. How are you, Santa? Sorry for all the things wrong I did
just
this year.
That opening, gambit does sound pretty much like you. How are you, Santa? Listen, sorry about all the things I do wrong all the time.
Yeah, and then it actually gets worse. And also for all the lies. Yeah, that's what it says.
PJ, aged 4 3/4.
It says, if I haven't been too bad, could I have some squishmallows? I don't know what squishmallows are. But they seem to be the number one requested thing from Santa this year.
Is it a food source?
I'd
eat a squished mallow.
I would, yes.
I say like the tea cakes.
I'd have a squished mallow dipped in chocolate, whatever it is.
Yeah, rolled in coconut.
It does sound gorgeous, yeah. And Pokemon and Lego, they're still big. Although maybe that's a letter from 2012. Pokemon seems like goes back a bit. You know.
A bit of a retro feel off that, yeah.
Yeah, teddy bears. I would have thought that was like back in your era, to be honest with you. Teddy bears, or hoops on sticks, I suppose, were big back then. Also,
an orange.
And yeah, Jim's best Christmas ever. He got an orange on a hoop.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the stick wasn't included. I had to wait till the next Christmas to get the stick.
To get the stick to beat it up the road.
I don't know why I encourage you.
God. Also, a lot of people asking Santa for electronics, like iPhones and stuff, which I would have thought was a bit... I wouldn't have thought Santa would be delivering stuff like that, to be honest.
Well, you never know. I mean, he's probably... I'm sure the workshop has been updated over the years.
Yeah.
See what I mean? They probably had to restructure, though, from the time of creating hoops and sticks.
They probably, yeah.
Totally different machinery involved in hoops and sticks than there is in your standard iPhone.
Yeah, there's some elf up there in the North Pole going, was all hoops and sticks when I was young. Now look at this. You wouldn't even get a job here without an engineering degree. So how hard it is for someone who's 2 foot high to get an engineering degree? You know that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. The people seem thinking you're a child and all. But yeah, I had to sit there. Yeah. I had to do me master sitting in a baby chair out at McDonald's.
Yeah. I had to ask for a ladder to get up.
Unbelievable stuff. And then some of the letters, there's another one here that says one little girl, she says she wanted to thank all the elves for helping Santa make the toys. And she says she applauds, this is a very grown up letter, she applauds Mrs. Claus for feeding everyone in the workshop. And also says, do you, by the way, make the clothes that people ask for yourself? And could you please get back to me on that?
Wow.
I think we can
hazard a guess as to what part of the country, maybe even the city, that she comes from.
Yeah.
Yes. I do applaud Mrs. Claus for feeding all of the people in the workshop. And by the way, can I ask, do you actually make those clothes yourself?
Yeah. I can bet that she's thinking...
Perhaps looking forward to your reply, Veronica.
Veronica, yeah. You can bet that the clothes she's talking about, she's not asking Santa for a balaclava, say.
No.
I wouldn't have thought.
Unlikely.
Yeah, unlikely. Yeah. Unlikely. Or a master key. Well,
the favourite one of all is, and I have to say, very different again from our day, was the kid who asked Santa for world peace.
Yeah. That's a lot of that. A few children says have asked for world peace. And one little kid says, I'd like peace not only in the Ukraine, but also in my home and in my homeland. And
then that's very deep, yeah.
And she signs it, Honest Davine, who says, I've been okay this year.
Right.
Could have been better, but okay. It's very grown up.
It is very grown up, yeah. And I mean, that's very very laudable that somebody would put others first and ask for world peace.
Yeah, but then she goes on and says, can I also have...
In the event that world peace isn't possible, can I have a PlayStation 5?
Actually, it's a Barbie dream house.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go, some of the best bits from the final week there of 2022 on Morning Glory. Actually, I suppose the other thing we should do, we've been talking about the past years, right? So next year, are you going to do anything? I know we don't make resolutions, right?
Yeah.
Because we think it's rubbish.
Yes.
It's a waste of time. But,
yeah.
Are we ever going to get ourselves under control?
I hope so. Because I finally got a healthy mind, which took me a year and a half, and now my body has gone to pot, so I wouldn't mind having some sort of a balance.
Right.
Know? I'd actually swap some of the fat for a bit of distress now at this stage, you know. So just a bit.
We'll have to make some effort.
And some, yeah, we should do a January thing or so. Oh, no, everyone does
no,
that.
I'm not doing that. That's
no,
far too much pressure.
Yeah, not the radio. I want to be able to disappoint myself.
And I don't feel like giving up anything either, to be perfectly honest with
you. No, definitely. Well, so, I love that. So what do you do different? Well, I'm not giving that up, and I'm definitely not joining the gym. So I'm just going to naturally hope the fat falls off with positive energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I might think of a different sort of a goal, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what you mean? Like, climbing a lake. Climbing the lake.
There you go. That sounds like my kind of challenge.
That's a challenge, yeah.
Yeah. I climbed that lake there. What?
Yeah, climbed it, yeah.
I climbed into it. I'm just saying.
Climbed it. Yeah, right to the top. You mean a physical challenge?
I don't know. But, you know, just something that you'd be fairly confident at the start you'd be able to do.
Yeah.
I know that's. I know that goes directly against the definition of a challenge.
Yeah, I love. Imagine I'm going to grow a mustache. That's me challenge for the year.
Yeah, to be fair, based on your past, that might be a bit of a challenge.
I know. That's so embarrassing. I'm not a man at all, man. I mean, they told me grow a tash. It took me 3 months and I still got onto the set for Young Offenders and, you know, I had to put eyeliner in it to make it darker because it just looks like straw stuck to me face.
Yeah. Right, so maybe we won't take that
out. It just looks like I have an eyebrow across me lip. It's ridiculous.
There must be something. I'll think of something. There must be something we can kind of, like, you know, do as a... You know, whatever.
We're walking on it.
But, you know.
We're going for a walk. With a dog.
Well, that's gone well.
Glad
we had that conversation.
Yeah, yeah. More of the same, so. More of the same.
Right, come on. Let's back off.
Let's get out of here. Happy New Year and all that. And don't go hard on yourself.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.